Chapter 2. Jensen. Chad was a great tracker. Even in the wolf community, his skills shone. But it soon became obvious that the circumstances didn't require his expertise. This wolf was slow and clumsy, and the pack had no trouble following his trail. They caught his scent, and the trail led heavily to their own home. Jensen cleared the mess of rubbish on the ground and followed large paw prints to the Christmas tree.
"He came to the tree again," he said softly.
Milo stood by his side.
"The trail is too easy. Everything is wrong with this. Why do you think he took scraps, Alpha? Something's not right with him, is it? We won't have to kill him, will we?"
He spoke soft and sympathetic. Milo was always the caregiver of the group.
"I don't know, Milo. He may be sick, but I don't know. I haven't got the answers."
"He came here after the girl. He took scraps rather than continue hunting. I don't think he wants to hurt anyone."
Jensen gave him a soft look and gently touched his arm.
"Milo, you know it's not always as simple as that."
They hunted as wolves, and it wasn't long before they caught up with him, near to the gorge. Jensen saw him clambering over rock and stopped for a moment. The wolf had a large frame. Its coat was thick and shaggy long, of darkest gray with hints of black. If it weren't for the shape of his ribs poking through the skin and the sunken, sick features, he would be huge and astoundingly beautiful. The wolf caught the scent of their pack. Jensen saw him turn to look in their direction, and the slanted hazel orbs gazed at him. He froze for a few seconds, bewitched by the stare. But the lone wolf laid his ears flat to his head, his knees flexed, and he curled his lip into a warning, with a low, growled snarl. Christian tensed, ready for the chase, but Jensen's voice, clear in his head, stalled him.
"He's terrified. Wait."
Jensen reined his adrenaline in. He stalled the rest of the pack and inched forward, belly close to the ground, to maintain a non-aggressive posture.
"My name is Jensen."
He threw the thought toward the stranger, knowing he had to hear it.
"I won't hurt you. I just need to talk with you."
The lone wolf tipped his head and whined. The intelligent hazel eyes showed no reduction of terror, and there was no reply.
"You scared a girl. She's not hurt. We can work this out. I know you're hungry. We have food. We can talk and eat."
The whining increased. It became a sharp, pained whimper, and the stranger rubbed a paw frantically over his ears. Jensen heard Milo.
"He's sick."
"Poor thing," Jen added. Jensen looked back at them, and in that moment the wolf flexed and ran. The chase was over quickly. There was little strength left in the stranger, and his fear took him in a dangerous direction.
"Cool it, guys. We're at the limit," Chad reminded the pack, but they all knew their territory.
Their quarry skidded to a halt at the very edge, and stones skittered and bounced down the sheer cliff of the gorge. They saw him look into the distance and down at the abyss. There was no purchase or escape, even for the nimblest of animals. They approached warily, spread out but moving as a pack, waiting for the moment that he would turn back to them and start to fight. It was inevitable with a wolf in this position. He would either submit or fight to the death. The hazel eyes locked on Jensen. The muzzle moved as the stranger snuffed and wheezed. Jensen knew he was looking into pools of pure desperation, and his dominance and calm reassurances weren't working. There was no communication or indication of understanding. If he didn't know better, he would think this was a pure, wild wolf. But then he caught the slightest movement, a hint of intent, and Jensen knew what this wolf was about to do, and no wolf would ever make that choice. Even a werewolf wouldn't take that choice, because suicide is a peculiarly human action. Christian saw it too, and spoke first.
"He wouldn't. Back off. Everyone except Milo. Back off.
They all obeyed their alpha without question, even if he could hear their doubt in his mind. The lone wolf saw the withdrawal and stalled, but there was still the danger. Jensen shifted into human form with ease. He sat naked and cross-legged on the snow by Milo's furry form. Milo relaxed with his paws outstretched, as if sunbathing, posing as little threat as he reasonably could.
"Don't. Please don't. You don't have to do that," Jensen begged.
A dark muzzle turned to him, and he finally saw understanding from the stranger.
"I don't think you can hear me when I am wolf, can you?"
There was hesitation, then a reply. No wolf answer, this, but a human version. The long head shook from side to side.
"No, you can't. It's good that we know. You can hear me now, though. We're talking now, right?"
Jensen couldn't help the panic that tinged his voice. He was alpha. He was always in control. But in this situation, he was lost. He had no control and not a clue what he should do. If this wolf died, it would be his fault. His pack had pursued him to the edge of this cliff. They had forced a weak, panicking Omega into this position and would be responsible for his death.
"We don't want to hurt you. The others are all going home, all except me and my friend Milo. My name is Jensen."
Christian growled a question, and Jensen shot him down.
"You think I couldn't take him alone if necessary? Look at him, Christian. Milo could take him down without pause. Just go. Make up an extra bed and have a meal prepared."
The stranger snarled and snapped at his words, and Jensen turned back to him in surprise.
"I'm not saying you have to come back with us, only that you're welcome, if you want to."
The growl deepened and lingered. The rest of the pack turned tail and loped into the woods. Milo shifted now, with no care for his nudity before the other werewolves. It was a natural state. He spoke softly to the lone wolf, without looking at his alpha. He knew why Jensen had asked him to stay. Omegas have a natural empathy, and Milo enjoyed taking care of his pack. He was both counselor and confessor. He could sense the pain and the fear that rolled off the other Omega, and it was instinctive to want to fix him.
"We want to help. It would be easier to talk if we were all in human form," he crooned.
The wolf fidgeted. He turned in circles, as if chasing his tail, and whimpered before sitting back on his haunches, then stared at Jensen without reprieve. Jensen caught his breath.
"I've seen that before. With pups. He can't shift, Milo. He's trying to, but he's not able to shift."
"Alpha, I think you should go. I think you should hunt for something for him to eat."
"Milo, I can't leave you here unprotected."
The stranger watched the exchange with interest.
"You said it yourself. He is no danger to me, but you scare him. I can sense it."
He lifted his voice and looked directly to the lone wolf.
"I think we Omegas should have some time together, away from the pack."
There was fractional relaxation in the dark wolf as he continued to study Jensen, looking for his reaction.
"Okay, yeah, you're right. Something to eat. Any preferences?"
"Wild fried chicken," joked Milo.
"Heh, fresh whatever it is, then," retorted Jensen, as he shifted and loped into the woods.
From the corner of his eye, he saw the stranger blink and settle into a more relaxed sitting position. He breathed out and allowed himself to concentrate on hunting. Jared watched the alpha shift and stalk away, and allowed some of his tension to dissipate. He shuffled his front paws forward so that he lay belly to ground.
"You're making me nervous, man. Come away from the edge," Milo drawled.
Jared crept forward a few inches, but his eyes never stopped checking between Milo and the last place that the alpha was visible. His heart was beating fast with fear. He could feel sweat cooling on his fur, and his tongue lolled out as he panted. He had heard Jensen's comment that any of them could bring him down, and he knew it was true. The mixed scents of the pack scared him, but the pack alpha and the other alpha in the pack both confused and overwhelmed him. The notes in their perfume and stance were familiar, but something about the pack alpha made him want to draw close and submit. He knew that submission was normal instinct for an Omega, but he had never wanted to feel that with his own alpha. His touch was abhorrent, even as he submitted to him, and he avoided his company whenever he could.
"You know Jensen is a nice guy. He's my alpha, and I know I would respect him for that, whatever the circumstances, but he looks after all of us. He listens, and we all feel valued."
Jared wondered how well Milo could interpret the slight movements of his wolf form when the wearer shook his head and Milo continued.
"You're not going to believe me, are you? I think things must have been bad for you. Jensen would never turn any of us out for getting sick, and it wouldn't be too much trouble for him if you are ill. He works at the hospital. He helps folks get better."
Milo inched forward a little, and Jared couldn't stop himself from reacting. He raised his back haunches and shuffled backwards toward the precipice until their distance was maintained. He heard Milo gasp, and the dark-haired, naked wearer scooted back several feet.
"Come on, dude. How about you come forward as far?"
He belly-walked a few inches and settled again. He couldn't see many choices here. If he relaxed, he would be taken down by one of the pack. He would be handed to the police, to be returned to his own alpha, and the punishment for his moment of lost control would be unbearable. Or maybe this pack would expect his submission, devise their own punishment, and keep him for their own purposes. Maybe they would kill him, but if that was their intention, this Milo wouldn't be trying to talk him from the ledge. He wouldn't go with them. He couldn't return to being any pack's Omega bitch. He closed his eyes and imagined falling. It would be fast, and the rush of air would be filled with the sense of freedom, the essence of this place that called to his soul. It wouldn't be such a bad way to go. The other Omega spoke again, and his voice was soft and comforting, but Jared wasn't concentrating on the words. His tail gave an occasional thump, and his body began to relax as the adrenaline started to break down and leave a steadying pump of blood in his veins. His wolf was as exhausted as the rest of him. He rested his snout on his front paws, but his eyes stayed open and alert, flickering to Milo and checking the surrounding area. At least nobody would be stalking him from behind. He smelled the pack alpha, Jensen, long before he saw him, and the pungent and all-encompassing aroma of fresh prey excited his nose, traveled through his whole being until he was trembling and the saliva dripped from his razor teeth. He fidgeted his weight from side to side in hungry anticipation, and his tail wagged, but he would not move forward, despite Milo's encouragement. Jared had no thought of Milo once Jensen was in view. He locked gaze with the pack alpha and stared into the bright, mossy green eyes as the lightly dappled gray wolf approached him. He was carrying a large raccoon, and Jared's inner self couldn't find any disgust at the thought of eating the creature. In his mind, he was already tearing it into thick, bloody pieces and crunching on its bones with relish. He could feel a red mist fogging the corners of his mind, and he pulled control back with a start. He wouldn't allow himself to be tricked so simply. While his whole body shook with need, he counted Jensen's paces and, when he drew level with Milo, Jared bent his knees to stand and snarled a warning at him. Jensen ground to a halt, visibly shocked, with one paw still in the air. He stepped one more time, and blood dripped from his offering and stained the snow around him. Even then, Jared couldn't bear the alpha's scent and approach. He backed away again. Over the dizzying rush of blood and want, he heard Milo shout a warning to Jensen. The Ilfa dropped his catch, shifted back to his naked form, and crouched low to look at Jared's face. His voice was steady and calm.
"Hey, shh. It's just a meal. Nothing more, no wicked intentions, and nothing owed. You are hungry, aren't you, boy?"
He threw the dead creature to a halfway point and crouched again, beckoning Jared forward. Jared's whole body wriggled and shook. His eyes darted between the raccoon, Jensen, and Milo. The red mist continued to threaten, and he fought to push it back. He snarled again.
"What in hell?"
Jensen's question was directed at Milo.
"I have no idea, boss. Give it time, all right?"
Jared felt a twinge of guilt. Milo was an Omega, and he would undoubtedly be punished for his failure to please his Alpha. He wished he could help him, but he couldn't back down. The standoff lasted until the sun began to sink below the horizon. The raccoon lay between them, an enticing offering, or a Trojan horse. Each time Jensen and Milo dropped back, Jared inched forward, but he couldn't bring himself to finish the distance while the wolf pack wares tainted the air with their scent. Milo started to shiver, and Jensen told him to shift back to his wolf. They both reassured Jared that it was only for the warmth. Jared thought it was an unusually kind instruction that Jensen gave to the Omega. Jensen spoke to him shortly after.
"Look, I'm cold and hungry, buddy, and I know you're starving. We are going home. The meal is all yours. You should make sure you eat it all and find somewhere warm to shelter. You know where we live, and you are welcome to follow us. You shouldn't worry too much about the incident with the girl on Black Ridge. She's good. You turned away, and that means we can square this with an apology and some negotiation with the sheriff."
Jared knew that was a lie. No human would forgive such an act. He growled. Jensen gave a heavy sigh.
"You can't go on like this. You have to let someone help you. You know this is my pack and my territory, and I will not allow you to damage our reputation or hurt anyone here. We will bring you down and kill you if we have to."
And there it was, the show of dominance, the inevitable posturing and threats of a pack defending their territory from the strange wolf. Jensen stood, and Jared flinched with his whole being. He saw something flare and fade behind the stunning green eyes, and wondered what the Alpha was thinking.
"Look, you have choices. You can eat, find strength, and leave this place. We won't follow you. You can stay here alone, and as long as there is no trouble, we won't bother you. But we all share the same biology, and we know that hunger can destroy self-control. Your hunting sucks, buddy, so, for now, whenever our house is empty, we are going to leave some food for you."
Jensen frowned and thought,
"I think the Christmas tree is a good place for that."
Jared's ears pricked up and his face tipped to the side in question. He didn't understand the Alpha's motives. Jensen put his hands up.
"No tricks, just a need to stay friends with our neighbors."
He turned his back on Jared in a show of self-confidence. Just before he shifted and ran into the gloom, he spoke again.
"Any time you want to talk, or need comfort or warmth, any time, you can find one of us, wherever we are, and we will help you. Please believe that."
Jared didn't dwell on the strangeness of such words. His ears pointed straight up and his snout lifted to smell the air. He sensed their retreat and his stomach cramped in anticipation. When he finally allowed himself to take the carcass, his teeth ripped into it with greed and his snout gathered blood. He gave in to the red mist. Jensen. There was little time to discuss the events that evening, so Jensen got the entire pack up for a meeting early the next morning. Christian rubbed his eyes and moaned about lack of sleep, and Katie poked him in the ribs.
"This is serious, you big elk."
Katie, Christian, and Chad were keen to hunt again, to find a place where the lone werewolf could be brought down safely, but Milo and Genevieve were less eager. Jensen stopped the debate with a firm refusal.
If we have to bring him down, it's going to be Chad with a tranquilizer dart.
Christian objected.
Boss, he's easy enough.
That's not the point, Christian. He's not right. He's sick.
That makes it easier, Katie pointed out.
Jen had worked the reasoning out.
He's sick, Katie, and we have no idea if it's infectious. We can't bring him down. We can't risk that sort of contact.
Chad's eyes widened.
You said you invited him to the house, to see us, any time.
I did, and now I stand by it. Are we really the sort of pack who would turn a sick wolf, an omega, out in the cold?
Saying that, we will have to take precautions. No blood contact, no close contact. Don't share food or anything else. We will put food out for him, and whatever is left will be cleared using gloves. If he comes to you, encourage him to visit the vet. Tell him we will pay for the vet.
Oh, God!
Milo had turned pale.
Do you think he has rabies? Is it rabies?
Jensen wrapped his arm around Milo and hugged him close.
No, he's not displaying the right symptoms for that. I don't know what it could be, but I'll do some research, and if he sticks around, we'll see about it later. He was pretty freaked. He may have moved on.
Will we go after him? Asked Christian.
No, he's not our responsibility. If he wants to move on, it solves the problem. It's fine with me.
Even as he said it, Jensen knew he was lying. It wouldn't be fine. It would hurt. He wanted the chance to make things right for this Omega. He wanted to be the one who made things better. The word mate ghosted through his thoughts, and he batted it away. It made no sense. Chad spoke up.
Alpha?
Yes, Chad.
Milo and I were talking last night. I'm not sure about the Trank plan. Milo thinks we should build his trust slowly, and as long as he improves a bit, doesn't get worse, we should wait and let him come to us.
Is that your opinion, Milo?
Jensen asked.
Milo blushed. It just seems that forcing ourselves on him won't work, however well we mean it. You saw him, even starving, with temptation of a meal. Every time we moved forward, he moved back. If we tranquilize him, it's aggressive. The trust is never going to come. When he came to town, he talked to people. He asked for a job. So we know he can interact, and it seems to me he finds people easier to approach than his own kind. Maybe we can build on that.
Chad added to the conversation.
We have a campsite with cabins a few miles into the park, in a secluded spot. They're empty, ready for refurbishment in spring. I thought maybe if there was evidence of the Omega staying, I could have Sam Ferris unlock them, supply them up a little. A few logs and lighters, some blankets and some cans. Make it look like an oversight. He might find them. It would give him respite, and we would not lose track of him.
Jensen thought about it. Sam was Chad's fellow park ranger, a good colleague and a friend of theirs. She was also human, so there would be no werewolf scent from her presence.
Sounds like a plan, Chad. It couldn't hurt.
They broke up the meeting to go their separate ways, but Jen caught Jensen's arm to pull him into a private conversation.
Tell me, Alpha, is it any werewolf you're doing this for, or is it just him?
Jensen snapped the reply. Of course I would do it for any.
But, said Jen, with a quirk to her lips.
He sighed.
It feels special. He feels special.
He's sick, Jensen. Don't get your heart broken.
Genevieve rubbed her hand over his shoulder.
Okay?
Yeah, okay.
Before Jensen rode into town, he placed a plate of chicken and vegetables under the Christmas tree. thought for a moment, and went back to the house. He returned with a set of warm mittens and a knitted hat and arranged them on the tree above the meal. Aldous was harder to convince.
So not only is this werewolf a danger to our children, but he may be infectious, too.
I'm sorry, Jensen, but this isn't a decision your pack can make. I can't just let him go. I want the chopper out, and I want him tranked and brought in today.
He's not dangerous, Aldous. I've seen him. We can keep it under control. Let us try. Give us a few days.
Aldous opened his mouth to argue further, but Jensen hushed him with an outstretched hand.
If you do it on your own, a dedicated chopper is going to take a lot out of the town budget, and he will be hiding. Give us a few days. In the meantime, you can check out missing persons, wanted persons, and recently released cons. If any of that gives you cause for concern, then I promise we will be out there helping you to bring him in.
Aldous rubbed his hand over his face.
Any of this goes wrong, you and your pack will be finished in this town, Jensen. There ain't nothing I'll be able to say that will save you.
Thanks, Aldous. Owe you one.
You owe me lots, plus Christmas dinner, dude.
Jensen couldn't help his disappointment when he came back home. The food and gifts lay untouched under the Christmas tree. He brewed himself a cup of coffee and made a phone call. His parents weren't in, so he left a message.